Thank you, Lee. Last week in Boulder, we did a meditation, and our intention was to send peace and benevolence to all of those in Australia who are facing these massive challenges right now. And we are joined by a global community. So I want to just show you what's happening. We have a lot of the Buddhist monks that are praying and chanting, and they were praying for rain. His Holiness has written to the Prime Minister on behalf of their condolences, and their prayers and wishes are there with them. We also have Pope Francis talking about those who are in Australia. We also have Muslims that are praying. Australia is a very multicultural place. So we have a lot of immigrants from all religious backgrounds. And so there's also a prayer for the bushfire that's being done as well. And these are just a few of the ones that you see on the internet, but all over the planet, small groups are meeting, large groups are meeting. People are coming together to pray for the situation that's unfolding. And it's such a beautiful part of an otherwise tragic, loss for words event that is happening. And then there's the wildlife. And I want to just share some precious images that warms my heart. Fire went through Adelaide Hills, and there's a primary school that opened up their hall for the recovery centre. And as you look at this image here, you see all of these areas, little creches set up just for the koalas. And if you can't quite see in there, here's a close-up version to show you what's inside. And one last little image there. So amazing things are unfolding and happening amidst the chaos and tragedy that's happening. And so I ask you now to join with me as we do one more meditation. And this time I want to focus on a transference of wisdom. Krishna has told us that when you are in fear, it stops you from receiving wisdom. He asked us to look at the masters that walked the planet and ask the question, did you ever see them in fear? And the answer is no, because when you are connected to divine source, you have a connection that transcends fear. And when we're in fear, we're not very effective in our decision-making abilities. So one of the ways to move out of fear is to settle within yourself, to slow your breathing, to take deep breaths through your nose, and to exhale softly through your mouth. And the more you can slow your breathing in a very gentle way, and the more you can enter the silence, enter the stillness, and feel the connection that you share with our planet. And feel the connection that we share with the Creator of all that is. It is a connection available to every single human on the planet. And it is a connection that brings you peace, tranquility, calmness, harmony. All of these attributes is what the old soul carries. Those of you in this room and perhaps listening to this later have those attributes. It's what draws you to listen to this and perform this meditation yourself. And we've been told that it is possible to transfer energy through the field. So I sit before an audience that contains a vast knowledge and wisdom of what it is to walk this planet and face many challenges. And we're asking that we send and transfer this wisdom that allows you to have divine guidance for your life. We can't always negate the challenges we face, but when you tap into your internal guidance, you're able to deliver wisdom to those around you who need it now more than ever before. We're only at the very beginning of 2020, which Crian has called the Year of Change. It represents duality. We've always had duality, and instead of it being a struggle, we are asked to view it as simply a choice. And that now we have energies delivered to the earth that allow us to see intuitively the consequences of every choice we make. So in the moments that we need it, allow the wisdom to guide your choices. So we send that wisdom to every person facing their challenges right now on the planet, especially those in Australia, but there are many others around the world right now who are in deep challenge. They're facing loss of life, facing drama, and they are feeling the effects of what you are doing. Because we are all connected in a soup of energy. And your focused intent to transfer your deep old soul wisdom is taking effect right now. And so breathe into that wisdom. Take a deep breath. And feel the wisdom of the ages descend upon you and filter out through your fingers, out through your feet, onto the grids of the planet, and connecting in with the center of Australia, Uluru, a very, very ancient and sacred place. Filled with benevolent energies, deep wisdom that is also connected to you and to every person on this planet. So we just merge with those energies within Uluru. We ask for the blessings to be shared with everyone of deep ancient wisdom and knowledge. We give thanks and gratitude to the Indigenous. We give thanks and gratitude to our planet, our beautiful planet that is reshaping herself as we speak. And we give gratitude and thanks to those beings from the stars that gave us our divine spark. And just allow that to resonate within you. There's nothing to do. You're simply holding the feeling of gratitude. And I will count from 5 to 1 And we will return our consciousness back to the room. Five. Take a deep breath. Four. Three. Two. Take another deep breath. One, you can open your eyes when you're ready. Bring your consciousness back into the room. And I want to deeply thank each and every one of you for allowing me to connect with my homeland and the people in Australia and with our global population with such beautiful, bright light. Thank you.
Kryon has talked about the wind of birth, when the first breath comes into the body. And it stays with us until we take our last breath. So each breath is sacred. So as you draw a breath in, you can bless it and thank it. And as you exhale, you can bless it and thank it also. Like your breath, your human form is something that you only have to contain your soul in this life. Breath, body, and soul. So as you thank this day and thank yourself for coming to be in the chair, thank your breath for keeping you here so that you can receive the kind of love and honoring that's brought to you by the speakers, by the channelers, so that you can continue your path, so that you can walk one step in front of the other as you learn, as you grow, and as people's lives touch you, and as you touch others with the sacredness of your life.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. This is part two of a channel with two parts. This morning, I spoke of climate change, which eventually will be called cycle, the climate cycle, because it is. We told you that we have predicted this for over a decade, that the climate change would have several parts and pieces to it, including some microclimate changes. Basically, the planet is going into a cold time. Not dangerously cold, if you know it's coming. And what the planet is going to do is not terminate human life, if you know what to do. And that has been the message. And that the planet, this Gaia, this lover of humanity that Gaia represents, is doing it like it has before, even before you got here, to change the life in the ocean, replenishing so much that now is starting to become stale. And that you did not cause this, dear ones. You have polluted so much, but you didn't cause this to change. That which is pollution caused by a low consciousness of humanity for so long will start to change. As consciousness rises, the idea of polluting this planet in the way you have will stop. That's why I haven't concentrated very much on the pollution issues, because a higher consciousness will prevail. The ocean of plastic will be taken care of. Humanity is capable of so much in cleanup to make up for so many years of the opposite. I'm talking about the climate change. And this part two, I said I would begin to speak about that which is taking place in Australia. If you haven't watched the news, in this January 2020, the catastrophe for that country. It's hard to recover from what has happened there. Basically, the fires that are there has consumed the forests, they call the bush. In an amazing conflagration of heat, over 12 million acres, hectares, more than you want to know about, are gone. Millions of animals are gone. And you look at this and you say, Cryan, you must comment. You've got to say something because it's so horrific. I have a great deal I would like to say about it. Number one, the meditation that you heard today is not necessarily about the tragedy of the few lives lost as much as it is for a changing continent. For the fear and the anxiety and the worry that most of those who live on that continent are now facing. In your lifetime, you've never seen anything like this. Now, I'm coming from Phoenix, and you know heat here. It's part of that which is legendary for the area. Imagine in Australia being in 130 degree heat Fahrenheit, and then the fires on top of it, with winds like tornadoes blowing through where nothing will survive. Faster, perhaps, than a car can drive, the fire will leap and go and cover the forests. That's climate change. And if you take a look at the records of heat and fire, for as many years as the Australian government has allowed those kinds of records, nothing like this has happened. This is not the beginning or the end, seemingly, of a cycle they would recognize. They can't say, well, this is a 100-year event. By the way, that's what they said about the polar vortex, which will return. It's not a 100-year event. And I think the Australians know it and don't want to hear this. This will come back next year. This will come back the year after that and the year after that. It's just part of that which is typical for that area. It's a very hot area on this planet. And before the cooling starts on this planet, the gyrations occur, where the hot gets hotter and the cold gets colder, even before the planet starts to show itself for what it's really going to do. And that is moving into an expected mini ice age. Not a frightening thing, because you see it coming, and it's going to take decades before it is fully upon you. But meanwhile, you can see it coming. What are you going to do, Australian, at this point in time? What can you do? You cannot change what is occurring. You cannot say something and have it go away. At best, what you can do is to find out how to survive this and not go into anxiety every time it happens, to know that it's coming back and be prepared as much as you can. But there's more here. I could tell you what's in the field for Australia, and they won't want to hear it. At some level, they're going to have to sit down and say, who are we? What are we known for that may have to change? What do we do regarding farming that may have to change? What do we do regarding raising cattle and those famous cattle stations that you hear about, and the sheep and all that is Australian, that you know is Australian and has been for a couple of hundred years? At some point in time, that is going to change, and you're going to have to say, we are going to change who we are and what we do because of this event and the ones that follow. Because it's going to be impossible to carry on as we did before. A change in culture, a change in what you think you do, Australian, for the planet, and who you are even to yourselves. A movement of a lot of people to different areas and protection that you can have, but away from the bush. That's not going to happen. Not for a long time, because the Australians are stubborn. They know who they are, and they will say, it's not going to change just because of a fire. So let's analyze that. And in the interim, before they start looking at a bigger picture, let's look at some things that might help. I speak mostly here to those who are not Australian. And so you don't know the full picture of what it must be like there or what happens. In your country, the United States, you walk away from a tragedy like this and you say, I lost everything, but good thing I had insurance. That's not what happens in Australia. They don't have the infrastructure or the funding, or the wherewithal for a common rancher to have that. And even if they did, this will be the last year of fire insurance, I guarantee it. And so those who have lost everything have only that which is a deed in their hand for the land which is now scorched and the buildings which are now gone. For the cattle which died and the sheep which are missing and dead, things that they might have done for half a century with their family on land that they own is not possible. But they will say it is. I want you to watch it. They're going to come back. And they're going to rebuild. And you might say, that's folly. But they're going to do it because that's all they have. This is all they've known. And they will start building up their animals again in another year and do what they do because that's what they do. It's different, dear ones, from what you would do. And you might say, well, where is the government in all this? That is not going to happen either. What do you expect from the government, you might say? What does the Australian expect from the government? Very little. What could the government do? So I'm going to make some suggestions to the stubborn ones who are going to go back into the bush, what's left of it, and rebuild a home, a ranch, put the fences back, and start again. And this is the eye-rolling part. I guarantee that if this is tried even among a few of you and want to go to this effort and what I'm about to say, you're going to see something very different than you expect. The bush is forest. It's the trees, the most flammable trees in the world, the eucalyptus, the gum. The first thing I would tell the rancher is to do something very difficult the government will not help you with. I want you to clear the forest for 1.6 kilometers all around you. Oh, in your language, American, that's a mile. You take everything and plow it under so you only have dirt. Only dirt. no fuel for a fire. If from the air you would look at it, it almost would look like a crop circle. It's devoid of anything. A mile out from your range. Numbers of things are going to take place if you do that. The first, let's talk about those who know fire who say, that's not going to work. Let's talk about the rest of the story of what might work. And I do this in phases, and you'll see why in a moment. Because there's more to this story than just clearing out the fuel. Fire needs fuel. And when it comes to the edge of the circle, there will be none. However, a firestorm is different. And that is exactly what they had. Storms of fire as big as Manhattan in New York City. That kind of a fire, although it will stop without fuel, will send up all manner of debris and embers, all of that falling into the middle. What do you do about that? That's where the firemen come in with a different kind of a protocol, and I'm going to call it ember and debris control. That's all they do. They're not fighting the fire because it has no fuel, and as big as it is or can get, it will not have any fuel to burn a mile around your ranch. But it's going to send you messengers, and that's going to be debris and branches and embers that could destroy it all again unless there is control. The firemen then are responsible for protecting those areas, not necessarily in fighting the fire at the edge. And then there is something else, something that hasn't been invented yet. Don't you love Cryon for saying those things? It's called the fire net. A non-flammable, unmeltable kind of material that is stashed away that you have that you will put over your building that will catch the debris. Oh, Cryon, that is so simple, Simon. That won't work. Okay, talk to me in a few years. It will work. Because the debris, the embers, the branches, all of those things will fall on the net and not on the home and the ranch or the structures. And every structure can have a fire net. That's not all. This is for those who don't believe a new paradigm is possible in the bush. What do you think will happen if that amount is cleared? Make no mistake, the government will not help you clear it. Australians will do it, and they'll do it by hand if they have to, bringing out their bulldozers. That's what they're known for. They get it done with hard work, and they don't stop until it's finished. What do you think you'll have besides a protection area for your ranch? I'll tell you this, wildlife is not dumb. And when the fires start, and they will, and they burn ferociously again, and they will. The animals will know about this circle, and they're going to come into it. So the circle doesn't just become a place where you're helping yourself, and I haven't got to the good part yet. This circle also is a wildlife refuge. You build shelters for them, covered shelters, not out of wood. You do it with berms of dirt. So they can get in the trenches, facing toward the middle, with pathways that they will be able to go to and save themselves, and at the same time, you give them water. Okay, Cryon, now you're really crazy. You see, there isn't any water. That's part of the problem. Water. Where are you going to get the water? You ready for the eye rolling? What if I told you that under the ground in the Australian continent, there is an ocean, a basin, more water than you could ever use or ever drain is there. Some of it's under pressure. You don't even have to drill. You just have to release it. This has not been developed fully. There have been a few. The ranchers know of it. They'll use a well here, a well there. Sometimes they can't find it. They'll divine until they get it right. But there's always water. An ocean is under the feet of the most burned and hot areas. Now, it isn't perfect. It's not drinkable. Sometimes, unexplainably, it's hot water. So you might find you have to have a little treatment of it in order to make it so that animals could use it. Firefighter, what if I told you your job is to protect the middle, not the mile-away fire, from falling embers, and you don't have to worry about water. You'll have plenty of it. So you start drilling around that area, not close to the perimeter, but inside, enough holes so that wherever you put your machines, you can put and use the water. You never have to bring any in. It's there. You can stay there and fight that and save the wildlife at the same time. Your family is safe. Your structures are safe. Your ranch is safe. While there's a firestorm a mile away in every direction. Eye rolling? Yes. It'll be eye rolling to the government, to the firefighters, even to the ranchers for a while. Until they start analyzing what I said. Do you think it might work? What is a fire net? Is there something we could put up to catch the embers that doesn't burn and doesn't melt? Yes. Is it heavy? No. This is part of the ingenuity of the Australian. So until you decide to change your culture and not ranch anymore, that is a solution for those who want to come back and stay. A lot of work, a lot of research, a lot of eye rolling to see if I'm right about that aquifer, that basin, which is filled with a sea of water. Brian, why haven't they used this before? They didn't need it. Not like this, dear ones. There has to be facilities and perhaps pumps. Well, what are they going to do for electricity? Oh my, I thought you might ask. That's in Channel 1. But even before those magnetic motors are churning out all the electricity, you still can use the engines you have covered correctly, fuel buried, all the things you need to do cleverly in order to supply enough electricity for the pumps and all. You get ready, dear ones, for the next time, and you fight it in a different way than you ever thought. Let the fire burn, except in the area where you are. That's simply the first stage, and I say there'll be a second and a third, as it's obvious that the fires will return. There are those who say, well, what about the fact that so much has already been burned? You know, there won't be as much left. I'll tell you what. It continues. There is regrowth even without rain. There'll always, always be the fuel of a eucalyptus forest, even after it burns, to create the kind of fires that they're going to see. It'll take months to put it out now. And the Australian government will start looking around and seeing what they can do, and there won't be much. But I've just given an individual instruction for the stubborn ones that want to come right back and do it again in an area that they know will have another fire. And that's the way you might survive, and your animals might survive, and at the same time, the animals of the forest will know you're there and know it's there, and you can keep them safe, as many as you can, as many as who come. It's a stepping stone, dear ones, until the Australian people redefine themselves and the culture changes and they say, well, maybe it's time ranches go away. It's going to be a while before that takes place. Meanwhile, it's about saving lives and animals And the stubborn will win if they're stubborn enough. Hold them right now in your thoughts and your prayers, not because of the danger they're in, but because of the anxiety they're in. A continent that just had itself severely burned, right up to the ocean, and sometimes an evacuation by ship, and sometimes things that you never thought possible are happening there now. See them understanding, see them more comfortable with what's coming, see them prepared and ready. I say these things in love, not to offend anyone who will roll their eyes and say, well, Brian, I thought you had some pretty good stuff up till now. You just wait. See if I'm right. All of these things in love for humanity, for what some of you are going through and will go through, not only as the climate changes, but as the consciousness of this planet begins to shift into such new areas. Some will be uncomfortable. I always did this a certain way. This is who we I am. This is who we are. Not understanding that new paradigms are upon you that will eventually be the ones that belong there. And that's why you're here. I am Kryon, lover of humanity. And so it is.